today, and of course read a little bit this week and tried to save a few scriptures and dog ear a few pages in my Bible, and just trying to figure out what we would be looking at tonight and teaching on. And today, as I got in here and got to studying a little bit and got to reading, I actually took about 15, 20 minutes out of the middle of my day and just kind of shut my door and got my Bible app out and started looking at some different things. And this scripture jumped out at me, and just want to take a few minutes tonight and look at it, because I know in my life that sometimes I get in a hurry, and you know, we here at Fellowship, I think that we're in a place that God is blessing our church, and we're in a place that we're trying our best to follow God's leadership, and we're doing our best not to get legalistic. We're trying not to be liberal. We're not trying to be so far right. We're just trying our best to be right in the middle of God's will and God's word. But at the same time, I want to ask you a question. What in the world are you wearing tonight? I mean, I went home, took a shower, and put on nice clothes to come to church. What are you wearing? Look, what are you wearing? Now, as y'all all think I flipped my lid tonight. We're going to get there in just a minute. I'm not a preacher that's going to preach on what are you physically wearing. I'm not a preacher that's going to, I mean, come in your work clothes or whatever. I just done that for a little bit of a shock there. Because tonight I want you to think about what are you wearing. Now, as we go from day to day and whatever you go to do, you dress a certain way for a certain purpose. Maybe you're like Lynn and you're just always going to wear a Napa shirt and go everywhere you go. That's what you're going to do. Oh, he don't have his Napa shirt on tonight. Oh, man. Or maybe you're going to go somewhere. You're going to the bank, and you put on your fine clothes and the whole thing that I'm trying to get at tonight is what we sometimes do on our outward reflects what's going on the inward. And tonight I want us to look, and I'm not talking about physically what you're actually wearing. I'm not talking about your clothing, but I want us to look tonight and see what our outward appearance is reflecting on what's going on the inside of us. And I'm not talking about earrings or hair or tattoos or, like I said, clothing. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about your outward appearance and how people view you. What is it saying about the inside? Let's go to Zechariah chapter number 3. The Bible says, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest." This is not the same Joshua that helped lead the children of Israel into the promised land. This is different. But he said, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee." Ain't it amazing how there's a couple of different places in the Bible where God gives us maybe even a sort of a vision of how that Satan is always there to resist? You know, we know that over in Job, how that the devil went to God and said, "What about your servant Job?" Or actually Jesus asked him, said, or God asked him, said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Because the devil said that he was roaming to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And he said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" And ain't it amazing how that Satan actually, he comes to resist us and to attack us, and that God even shows that to us in his word. And here we have Joshua, the high priest, and the Bible tells us that Satan was there to resist him. And I don't care where you're at in your Christian life. I don't know how long you've been saved or how mature you are as a Christian. I promise you that Satan wants to resist you and your effort to walk closer with God and to be what you should be for the glory of God. That Satan is always going to be there to resist you, to try to keep you from making a difference in someone else's life. But here in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" I'm glad tonight that I'm the same as a brand plucked out of the fire, that I no longer am free game for Satan, that now if he wants to resist me, if he wants to come against me, just like he did in Job, where he had to go and he had to ask permission from God, that I'm glad tonight before Satan can come against me, that he has to get permission from my Heavenly Father, that he has to get permission before I'm not free game for Satan anymore, because I belong to God tonight. And he says here in verse number 3, he says, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." What are you wearing tonight? I hope tonight, as we've come together, and I know that I sort of threw that shock question out there, I don't care what kind of clothing you have on tonight, but I hope that when we're out here in a lost and a dying world, that a lost and a dying world can see that we have a change of raiment, that we're no longer the person that we used to be, that we're no longer somebody that's bound by sin, that we're no longer someone that is fire game for the devil, that we're no longer someone that is obeying Satan as our master, but tonight that we have been given a change of raiment. I want you to see what he says to him here. He says, I have taken away thine iniquity, thy sin. Your sin's no longer there. I've taken it away from you, and I have given you a change of raiment. But so many times, as we go from day to day, and as life happens, and as things happen in our life, and man, just sometimes life just stinks, and we all know that. Sometimes we don't let our raiment show that we have been changed. We don't let our outside appearance show. Hey, there's times that I know on the inside that my Heavenly Father, that His Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of me. I know that I'm one of His children. I know that I have victory. I know all these things, but I'm afraid sometimes that my outward appearance and the appearance that people see that I meet from time to time, from day to day, I'm afraid that sometimes they don't see somebody that's victorious. They don't see somebody that's been set free, but yet they see somebody that's fell into the same humdrum as everybody else. They see somebody that's fighting the same battles as everybody else. And tonight I want us to look and I want us to see what kind of garments that we should be showing as we go out here from day to day in this world. Because I want you to know that just as Satan came here to resist Joshua the high priest, and the first thing he done was pointed out the filthy garments that Joshua had on. The first thing he done is, I want you to see these garments that he had on. But I'm glad that God spoke up and said, I have caused his iniquity to pass from him, and I have clothed him with a change of raiment. Isaiah chapter number 61, verse number 10. I'm going to share a few scriptures with you tonight. I want you to look at this raiment that you and I should have on. There should be something different about us when people meet us out here. There should be something that, there should be a glow about us. There should be something that people look at and they may not even be able to put their finger on it, but there should be something that sets us apart. Isaiah chapter number 61, verse number 10, the Bible says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Tonight, as people look at us and as they see us in our physical appearance, maybe we do look like everybody else, but we shouldn't be walking around with our heads dropped, with our bottom lip stuck out. We shouldn't be in a pouting mood. We should be knowing tonight that we have been clothed with garments of salvation, that we have been adorned by God, that we now belong to Him. They should be able to tell that there's something different about us and a lost and a dying world that has no hope. Between us and someone who is still lost, who are still chained, who are still burdened. Not that we're better than them, but that we met someone that cleansed us from our iniquities, that put us in the situation that we're in. Tonight, I want us to know that we have the garment of salvation on us. Tonight, I'm afraid sometimes, though, that we put on some garments that we have no business wearing. I think sometimes I put on a garment of defeat. I walk around as if I'm defeated, as if, you know, maybe your finances ain't exactly where you want them to be right now, or maybe there's something going on in your personal life, there's something going on in your professional life, there's something going on maybe in your church life, and you feel like you've been defeated. I don't know why. I know I shared with you last week that I just had a really stressful week, and it seems like when I get in those places sometimes that I almost get into a place that I'm unhappy. I'm real bad to disconnect. That is what I do when I get in a place that life is hard for me. I disconnect and I shut everybody out. You may not ever know it because I'm pretty good, as Autumn says, at putting my holy britches on, and I'll come in here and I'll smile and try to be all happy and holy and all that good stuff. But I'm real bad to disconnect and shut down when I get into a place to where I'm feeling defeated. But I want you to know tonight that I have no business putting on a garment of defeat tonight. I have no business walking around like the world has got victory over me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? No matter what this world throws at me, no matter if my job goes away tomorrow, no matter if this, I'm going to just be blunt with you, if my wife goes away, if my church goes away, if my children go away, if I lose everything in this world, I should be able to be like Job and be content and say, naked I came into this world, naked I shall go away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I hope I'm not put to that test, but I should be able to do that because I should have a garment of victory on tonight through Jesus Christ. He has given me victory over everything in my life. But sometimes I put on a garment of defeat. I put on a garment where people have to look and they have to wonder, what happened to that guy that was so happy last week? What happened to that guy who looked like that he had the world by the tail last week? The guy that was bragging on how good God was to him and that God had given him victory in his life. What happened to him? Because tonight, he's not in that same mood. But really, it's not a mood. It's a garment that I've put on. I've put on a garment of defeat sometimes in my life. And I have no business when Christ has said that he has given me a garment of victory. He says, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I put on a garment of guilt. Sometimes when I allow sin into my life, sometimes maybe when things are just not going my way, I put on a garment of guilt and I act as if I'm not worthy to be a child of God. I act as if that I shouldn't be saved, that I shouldn't be. But you know what? That's not the way that God wants us to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." You know what? I'm not sanctified because of me. I'm not justified because of me. I'm not worthy because of me. If there's anything tonight that makes me worthy of anything, it is the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is no reason for me to walk around when I mess up. Now look, there's a difference between me becoming a habitual sinner and walking away from God. Then that guilt jumps on and then you got to get some things straightened out in your life. But sometimes just when we make mistakes, sometimes when we just fall short of the glory of God, we get into a place of guilt and we get into our little pity party and, man, I'm not worthy of the grace of God. Well, I want to tell you what, there's none of us that is worthy of the grace of God tonight. But it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and your whole spirit and your soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You can consider yourself blameless tonight because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now look, they're over there tonight having a blood drive. And they would tell you that that blood is so precious. And that blood in an emergency, that your blood that you have given could save someone else's life. Well, I want to tell you something. There was a blood drive over 2,000 years ago, and Jesus Christ gave his blood for me. And in the case of an emergency, the day that I realized that I was lost without Jesus Christ, that without the blood of Jesus Christ, that there was no atonement for my sin, I'm glad that that day that blood was applied to my life. And because of that, and only because of that, I can stand here blameless in front of you tonight, knowing that I don't have to wear a garment of guilt. I don't have to wear a garment of shame. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So take that off. Don't put that garment of guilt on. Sometimes we have a garment of fear. I know we mention this from time to time, but when you look around and you see the different things that's going on, there are things that are scary going on around us. There are things that can turn bad awful quick. But Romans chapter number 8, verse number 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of fear of bondage again to fear." Excuse me. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Man, I'm so glad that I've got Daddy to run to, that I don't have to be afraid. You know what? There's times in my kid's life that maybe we're out in the dark. Maybe we're somewhere and they feel a little bit frightened. They feel like things could go bad. They feel like something could get them, that there's a booger out there somewhere. Yeah, go anywhere else and not hear you, pastor, say booger. Let's see that one. But they feel like there's a booger out there to get them. And my kids and even my wife, they'll come to me. I'm supposed to be the one to keep them safe. Autumn, if we're watching a scary movie and she thinks there's anything going to jump out, she'll come over and she'll say, Hold my hand. And I'm thinking, I want to be away from you because you're going to scream and start scratching and slapping here in just a minute. I won't be nowhere near you. But she comes to me because there's a little bit of fear there. But what she don't know is sometimes I'm about to wet my pants too. I'm afraid. You know, I've told y'all how big of a scaredy cat that I am. But I'm glad tonight, Abba Father is never afraid. That my spiritual father that I go to, he knows exactly what's going to happen, and he's got it all in his hands. And when I run to him, when I'm afraid, and when I run to him, when I get that garment of fear and I run to him, then I don't have to worry about him being surprised by anything. I don't have to worry about him saying, "Oh, I didn't see that one coming." He knows exactly what's going on. He says, "I don't want you to put that garment of fear on. I want you to trust me no matter what. Look, today, just on the way home, I don't know why I turn my radio over to talk radio from time to time, because I usually either end up mad or just mostly just mad. But today they was doing some kind of financial report and they said, oh, we think that the economy is going to be really strong the rest of this year and the first part of next year. And you know what my mind automatically started doing? Man, I better get ready for the second part of next year. And that's the way I think, guys. That's bad that I'm there, but that's the way I think. Man, I better jump on it and sell all the jobs I can sell, because next year it may slow down. What the world? Do I not serve a God that's a lot bigger than the economy? Do I not serve a God that's got me in his hand? Why would I let that fear even jump on me? Sometimes I put that garment of fear on, but that's not what God wants us to do. What are you wearing tonight? What does the world see that you're wearing? What they see on the outside is a reflection of what's going on the inside. A garment of self-doubt. Well, I can't. Well, we all know Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I know that in myself I can't do anything. But with my Heavenly Father helping me, and if I'm in His will, I can do anything. I can. And you can. So don't get to thinking, well, I can't live the Christian life. I can't witness to nobody. I can't tell anybody else about Jesus Christ. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't go and knock on somebody's door and invite them to church. Because I want to tell you tonight that you can. And that I can. Don't put a garment of self-doubt on. Have any of you ever been in the middle of a conversation and all of a sudden that conversation turns spiritual and people start asking questions and you actually start looking for a way to get out of the conversation because you're afraid somebody's going to ask a question that you don't know? Because look, everybody looks at me and goes, well, let's ask the preacher. Let's not ask the preacher. Wait a minute. Let me call somebody else because I can find the answer for you. But you know what? If I will just hang in there and don't put on my garment of self-doubt and just depend on God to give me what I need to say. You know, look, he even told his disciples and some of his followers, he said, look, don't even think about what you're going to say. You just go and I'll give you what you need when you need it. And sometimes I don't have all the answers. But tonight I don't think that God wants us to put on that garment of self-doubt that I can't, that I can't, that I can't, but instead say, God, if it's your will, I can. I know that I can. A garment of low self-worth. But I want to tell you, look, I want to read a scripture to you because God's word is so much more powerful than any way that I can rephrase it. But John chapter number 1, verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Anytime that you get to thinking, well, I really don't mean anything. Nobody cares. Nobody knows about me. You know, maybe you're one of those people that kind of just fly under the radar and, man, just it don't seem like anybody recognizes what you do. But I want to tell you, don't ever get to thinking that you're not worth anything, because the Bible tells us that he gave you power to be the sons of God. And that sons is not male, it's children. You are the children of God. I'm a child of God tonight. I don't know what else you can want to be other than a child of God. I'm trying to move quickly. A garment of unhappiness. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 4. Let me get to it here. Have mercy. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 4. And these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. And if you go back and read that, he's talking about following Christ and realizing what God has done for us. And he says, if you do that, your joy will be full. Now, there's a complete difference in happiness and joy. It's kind of like in the plumbing world. People want to talk about pressure, and sometimes they're not meaning pressure, they're meaning volume. And volume and pressure are kind of related, but they're not the same whatsoever. And people take joy and they take happiness, and they think that they're the same, and they're kind of related, but they have nothing to do with each other. Because my happiness has everything to do with the surroundings around you, where you're at. Joy has to do with who you are in God, what God has done in your life, knowing that you have victory, knowing that you're worth something. That's where that joy comes from. You can be in the middle of a very unhappy situation and still have the joy of God in your life, and still have the joy of knowing who your Heavenly Father is. Sometimes I put on a garment of sin and shame. And I know we have almost covered this one, but 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad that when sometimes we sin, that I have someone, I have a Heavenly Father who's willing to forgive me. Now look, I wouldn't tell this to him if he was in here, but last night Silas had a little ball game and the ball game didn't go the way he wanted to, and we took a bunch of boys from Cana to Mount Airy and we got wore out. It was not pretty. Silas couldn't throw a pitch last night that they couldn't hit. It was just one of them nights. And they had a really good hitter out there. And we all know he could hit because he didn't hit one to the fence. And I'm calling the pitches and I'm telling him to throw fastballs and I'm telling him to stay this far off the plate. I don't want the boy to even reach it with the bat. I probably should have just put him on, but we was going to pitch around him a little bit. Well, the first pitch Silas pitched, the guy hit it plumb to the fence. I mean, it one hopped the fence. Well, of course, I switched pitchers. But I went out there and I said, what in the world? I said, there was no way that was two balls out and he hit it to the fence, pulling it. No possible way. I was upset because this is what Daddy had asked him to do, throw that ball two balls out. And he said, well, there ain't no use. I was just throwing it in there. Oh, that lit my fire. I said, give me the ball. And I brought another pitcher to the mound. And while he was pitching, I walked out to shortstop and me and Silas exchanged words back and forth. And then I walked off the field calmly, had an audience. So I'm going to put my holy britches on even on the ball field. And I walked to the bucket. And I told the other coach, I said, find you another player. He's done tonight. Didn't go into no details. Anyway, long story short, Silas come off the, I was mad. I mean, I was already thinking, me and him's going to, we're going to hash this out all the way home. He's in trouble. I'm taking his phone. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I mean, I was mad. And he come over between the innings and he took his hat off and he started rubbing his head, which is what Silas does when he's nervous. He said, Dad, you're right. He said, my attitude was bad. I shouldn't have thrown it in there like that. I know, I messed up. I was wrong. And when he done that, I was over it, just like that. You know what? That's the way God is with us. I'm sure that God gets upset with me. But he's not looking just to pour out his wrath and thunder and lightning on me. He just wants me to love him enough to follow what he asked me to do. He just wants me to love him enough to realize what he's done for me, to point others to him and to give him glory with my life. And he said, so even when you put on that garment of sin and shame, if you'll just realize what you've done wrong, man, I'll just restore it right back to you if you'll just come and ask me for forgiveness. So tonight, I don't know what you're wearing. And I did care less about the clothes that you have on. I really did like the looks that I got after I asked that question. But I don't know what you're wearing spiritually. But I can promise you, many, many times in my Christian life, I have wore all of these garments. I've put them on, and God will come to me and say, look, I took that filthy garment off of you. Put this on. And then I'll do it over and over and over again. I'm glad God's very patient with me. But let's try our best while we're out here in a lost and dying world, not to tell people how good God is and be so happy and be so joyful and be so set free, and then the next time they see us, we're so down. Because that gives them kind of a mixed signal of how good our God is. And I know that you would agree with me in this, that even when we're messed up in our mind or in our emotions and we got the wrong garment in, that if we'll really look and we'll really think about what all God's done to us and for us, we'll always say that God's been good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. God, I want to thank you for all that you've done for me. And God, I just want to say that I'm sorry that from time to time, God, that I don't trust you enough to keep the right garments on. That sometimes, God, that I do, I put on these garments that I shouldn't be wearing, that other people shouldn't see me wearing. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just help me to walk with you, help me to strive to be what you'd have me to be. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just bless all of our lives, God, that we'll give you glory and that we'll point others to the cross. God, I pray for our church. God, I just want to thank you for the way that you're moving in our church. And God, I pray as we continue to come together, God, as a family, God, I pray, dear Father, that if some of our family needs help spiritually, that you'll help them to see that need, God, and that they'll get that help. And God, if some of our family here, God, if they're lost, I pray that you'll just continue to touch their hearts and help them to come to know you before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray that you'll just help us to always give you glory because you're the only one that's worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.